Pastor, author, and Bible teacher, Alan Wright.
Good news that just comes to you like that is so powerful because it is replacing the bad news.
That's Pastor Alan Wright. Welcome to another message of good news that will help you see your life in a whole new light. I'm Daniel Britt, excited for you to hear the teaching today in this series, Beloved, a study of Romans chapters 9 through 11. It's presented at Renola Church in North Carolina. If you're not able to stay with us throughout the entire program, I want to make sure you know how to get our special resource right now. It can be yours for your donation this month to Alan Wright Ministries. So as you listen to today's message, go deeper as we send you today's special offer. Just contact us at PastorAlan.org. That's PastorAlan.org. Or call 877-544-4860. That's 877-544-4860. More on this later in the program. But now, let's get started with today's teaching. Here is Alan Wright.
I said, "Are you telling me?" And she smiled and she said, "Yes, we're going to have a baby." Well, I'm wide awake then. Good news that just comes to you like that is so powerful because it is replacing the bad news. So I think to have this wondrous desire to be those feet that share the good news, what Paul's saying here is remember and be in touch with just the fact that gospel is good news, but at the same time, we are remembering that it is replacing or displacing so much of the bad news. And I'm not just talking about the bad news that surrounds us in this world, although aren't we weary of just constant bad news? And part of what's engulfed us in this modern generation is that we hear about bad news in a second. Something terrible can happen on the other side of the world. We hear it instantly. So we are riddled with bad news, but the bad news that Paul has been addressing in Romans is much deeper than that, a problem that runs so deep that it's to our very core, and it is the bad news of our own sin nature. When I was in 10th grade, I tried out for the soccer team. All my friends thought I was a shoo-in. I'd been playing soccer since I was a kid, and everybody said I was a decent soccer player. I was fairly quick. I had a decently strong right foot and pretty good ball handling skills. And I tried out, gave it my all, thought that I'd done pretty well in the tryouts. And there came this important day where coach would post the list outside of his classroom door of all the people who made the team. I'll never forget that morning at Page High School, huddled around that sheet of paper on that wall and looking up to see my name there and scanning down quickly, not seeing it, going down slower and looking and not seeing it. And other guys around me, my friends, and saying, "Yes," you know, they'd made the team. And by the time I looked the third time and realized my name wasn't on it. And I just hung my head and people were patting me on the back saying, "I'm so sorry, Alan. I don't know why you didn't make the team, man." And I just went home just with the bad news. And I remember being just so sad about it. And the phone rang that night. And mom said, "It's for you." And I went and picked up the phone. He said, "Alan, this is Coach Osborne." I said, "Hey, Coach." He said, "There was a mistake. And by error, your name was left off of the list today. I'm so sorry." He said, "It was supposed to be on there. You've definitely made the team." And he said, "I hope that you will come join us this fall for the soccer team." And I said, "Oh, absolutely, Coach. Thank you so much." And got off and just felt like I could float around the house. Because you see, good news is only good when it is understood in contrast or in replacement of or displacing of the bad news. And so remember what Paul has been teaching us, Romans 3:10. None is righteous, no, not one. No one understands, no one seeks God. The problem, the bad news is that we are, in order to be in the presence of a holy God, we need to be in right standing with God, and nobody is. Everybody's sin. And part of the problem is that we can't do a single thing to save ourselves. Remember Romans 3:20, for by works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since the law comes through the knowledge of sin. Nobody can be good enough. So the problem is sin, and we're not in right standing. And no matter how hard we try, we cannot put ourselves in the right standing. And so it leaves us in a condition of sin that Paul says is like slavery, Romans 6:20. When you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. So the deepest problem is that people are not in right standing with God and therefore don't have peace in their heart with God and therefore no real peace in their lives. And their lives are engulfed or are swarmed by the destruction that comes with chronically being under the slavery of sin and selfishness. And so when you think about the goodness of the gospel, you are simultaneously thinking about the sadness and brokenness of humanity without the gospel. So think about the gospel that means good news and think about the bad news, but then think about the gospel again and think about what good news it is and what makes it so good. So here's where Paul quotes Isaiah 52:7. Let's look at that passage from Isaiah. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who publishes peace, who brings good news of happiness, who publishes salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. And when Paul brings this over into Romans and quotes it, how beautiful are the upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news. That phrase, who brings good news, is in Greek a verb that is absolutely beautiful, euangelizo. And it is the announcement of the euangelion. And so this comes from two Greek ideas, EU, which you recognize that prefix, eu, like in eulogy, which to speak well of someone, or even euphemism, which is to say we're going to try to say in a good way something that's bad. So EU means good, and from the Greek angelos, which is sometimes translated angel, but is actually in meaning messenger. And so euangelion is a good message. And that's what gospel means. And to preach the gospel is to proclaim that message. That's what it means to preach. That's what the word is here. It is a frequent word in the New Testament. Let me give you a couple of examples. Luke chapter 2, verse 10, you know this verse well. And the angel said to them, to the shepherds, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. That is euangelizo. I bring you this good news. And Jesus takes this and applies it to his own life and the ministry that has been entrusted to him as the Son of God, Luke 4:18. And he is referencing a passage from Isaiah also and says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. So he's anointed me to preach or proclaim or share. This is euangelizo. It is to share the gospel. This gospel that we share is so good. Gospel, good news, that it's everything within us should be at all times feeling like Anne is a little girl. Open the painting, open the painting, open the painting. Like if you had some huge, huge prize that you were able to give to somebody you love. That's the way this word conveys. It's this glorious news. And the picture is of a herald or a courier carrying a message, perhaps from the king to his battle troops, that says there's been a peace treaty that's been reached, cease fighting, or it could be that it is a herald that runs from the battle to the king and says the victory has been won. In this case of Isaiah, it is a picture of the time that would arrive when there would be a herald, someone that would run with the message and tell the exiles in Babylon that their suffering was over and that restoration was at hand and they would be returning to their homeland. This is the kind of joy, the kind of nature of the message of the euangelion that is being talked about by Paul. It is so good. And I just think that instead of like saying to ourselves, oh, we need to witness more. What we need is we need more awareness and delight in the savor and the beauty and the wonder of how good this gospel is.
That's Alan Wright. And we'll have more teaching in a moment from today's important series.
Embark on a journey of transformation with our Free Yourself, Be Yourself resource bundle. Imagine a shame-free life. No more self-condemnation. No more inward angst, wondering if you measure up as you soak in the message of healing grace. This empowering bundle includes Pastor Allen's landmark book, Free Yourself, Be Yourself, plus an accompanying resource guide and access to the exclusive companion video series. Act now. Support Alan Wright Ministries with your donation and step into the abundant life God has awaiting you as we send you this limited time resource bundle as our thanks this month.
The gospel is shared when you give to Alan Wright Ministries. This broadcast is only possible because of listener financial support. When you give today, we will send you today's special offer. We are happy to send this to you as our thanks from Alan Wright Ministries. Call us at 877-544-4860. That's 877-544-4860. Or come to our website, pastoralan.org.
Today's teaching now continues. Here once again is Alan Wright.
Remember everything that Paul said about how much we need the gospel, but then remember what we've been learning about this gospel. Romans 4:23. Our problem was we weren't in right standing, but Romans 4:23, but the words of it was counted to him, to Abraham, were not written for his sake alone, but for ours also. It will be counted to us, speaking of righteousness, counted to us who believe in him who raised from the dead Jesus our Lord, who was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. That what happens in the gospel is that God gives us the very righteousness that was Jesus's, so that he looks upon us as if we are as righteous as Jesus. And thus, by this grace, we're put in right standing with God, which means Romans 5:1, since we've been justified by faith, we have peace with God through Jesus Christ. And that means we're not stuck in our sin anymore. Romans 6:6, we know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so we would no longer be enslaved to sin. We're no longer in Christ. We still sin, but we're no longer slaves to sin. We're no longer destined to sin. We're no longer under its bondage. It's about that resurrection life, Romans 6:5. For if we've been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be reunited with him in a resurrection like his. This gospel is of a promise and assurance that there is resurrection life already happening inside of us as believers, and that we will one day be raised from the dead just as Jesus was, and that we will reign with him forever. It's about freedom. Romans 8, this glorious, if you can't remember anything else good about the gospel, just go to Romans 8. Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. And remember the gift of the helper, the Holy Spirit, Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us. Remember that we in Christ are adopted as heirs, Romans 8:15. You did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, But you've received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. And the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we're children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, fellow heirs with Christ. And remember the assurance that is placed upon assurance, that's placed upon assurance. Romans 8:38, I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ. Think about how much God has done for us in Christ and how much, therefore, his finished work means to someone who does not yet know it. But to think of the goodness of the gospel and how good the gospel is to also think about not just what he has done, but what Jesus continues to do. Romans 8:34, Christ Jesus, the one who died, more than that was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. He is, in the words of one preacher, before the Father, constantly pressing the refresh button of our justification. He is praying for us. He is interceding. Imagine if you were in your house and you heard a voice in the next room praying for you, and you went in and it was Jesus himself. He is advocating for us. He is continually pleading our case and advocating for our blessedness. The very nature of God is why the message is so good. It's what Jesus has done. It's what Jesus continues to do. But it is, this good news is about who God is. Think about God. When you think about those that you want to share with, think about just who God is. This is what people need to know. They need to know the nature of God, his heart towards them. People don't understand this about God. God's holy, God is just, but the heart of God is mercy and kindness. When Moses asked to see God's glory, and God hid him in the cleft of a rock, because God's glory is brilliant, blinding. But when God announced his presence and announced who he is, this is what he said in Exodus 34, verse 6. The Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord, the Lord. That's Yahweh, Yahweh, the covenantal name of God. The Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. He's talking about his heart. He's talking about this is who I am, and this is what I want to do, and this is what I'm inclined to do. When he speaks about his justice, it's almost as an afterthought. But who will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children of the children's children to the third and fourth generation? It is to say that we have good news because of what Jesus has done, what Jesus is doing, and what Jesus will do, and just the very heart of God is good news. As Dane Ortlund shares in his beautiful book, Gentle and Lowly, in the summer of 1740, Jonathan Edwards, the perhaps greatest theologian in America's history and the voice of the Great Awakening, preached a sermon that was exclusively for the children in his congregation in Northampton. And imagine the great theologian is going to preach to just those little kids up through 14 years old. And he had written up across the top of his page, all it says is August 1740, to the children. What would he say? And interestingly, the great theologian and preacher took as his text Matthew 10:37 in the King James Version, he that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. An unusual text, because usually moralistically, we try to talk to our kids, honor your father and mother, be sure and show love to your parents and respect to them and so forth. But when he was speaking to the children, the first thing that he wanted to say was that there is no greater love that can be known than the love of Christ. And he wants them to be in touch with that. Here's what he preached, the words of Jonathan Edwards to the kids. There is no love so great and so wonderful as that which is in the heart of Christ. He is one that delights in mercy. He is ready to pity those that are in suffering and sorrowful circumstances. one that delights in the happiness of his creatures. The love and grace that Christ has manifested does as much exceed all that which is in this world as the sun is brighter than a candle. Parents are often full of kindness towards their children, but that is no kindness like Jesus Christ. What he's saying, the great evangelist, maybe the greatest spokesperson of the gospel in the history of our country, is saying that what we want to put, starting with our kids, people in touch with, is the very heart of God, the very love of Christ. It's a love that defies description, but if people can understand the loving nature of God, then they are on their way to receiving the good news of the gospel. And then after you think about the gospel and then think about the bad news it needs to replace and then think deeper about what makes the gospel so good, think about the privilege. That's what he's saying, I think, to us here. The privilege of heralding this good news. Look back at Isaiah 52:7, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who publishes peace, who brings good news of happiness, who publishes salvation. Publishes, literally in the Hebrew here, Yeshua, which becomes the name of Jesus. Yeshua, HaMashiach, the Messiah, the Savior. Publishes it. It's a term I think of because I like to write, and I've spent a lot of time over the last couple of years writing a new book that Baker Books is publishing. So they didn't create the content, but they're publishing it. They're taking it. They're appreciating it. They're editing it. They're holding it in certain ways. They are packaging it. They are going to market it. They're going to distribute it. They're going to do all they can to help as many people as possible help it. That's what the publisher does. The publisher doesn't create the content. The publisher distributes the content. How beautiful is the one who publishes? This is a word that one of our prayer ministers came and shared with me just last Sunday before service when we were praying. And she says, I've got a word from the Lord for you, not knowing that I'd be preaching here this week, but came to Isaiah 52 and how beautiful are the feet of him. Such beautiful feet are those that are publishing peace, publishing salvation.
Alan Wright, today's good news message, Such Beautiful Feet, in our series, Beloved, a Study of Romans. Hey, Pastor Alan is back with us in the studio as he shares his parting good news thought for the day. Just a moment.
Embark on a journey of transformation with our Free Yourself, Be Yourself resource bundle. Imagine a shame-free life. No more self-condemnation. No more inward angst, wondering if you measure up as you soak in the message of healing grace. This empowering bundle includes Pastor Allen's landmark book, Free Yourself, Be Yourself, plus an accompanying resource guide and access to the exclusive companion video series. Act now. Support Alan Wright Ministries with your donation and step into the abundant life God has awaiting you as we send you this limited time resource bundle as our thanks this month.
The gospel is shared when you give to Alan Wright Ministries. This broadcast is only possible because of listener financial support. When you give today, we will send you today's special offer. We are happy to send this to you as our thanks from Alan Wright Ministries. Call us at 877-544-4860. That's 877-544-4860. Or come to our website, pastoralan.org.
Back here in the studio to share Pastor Allen's good news thought as we continue to place a bookmark here, but we'll pick back up with more teaching. The title, Such Beautiful Feet.
Wonderful news does something to you, doesn't it? It releases a kind of energy, purpose, joy. What I'm saying is that the good news itself has a power to it. And the good news is only good news in as much as it's replacing some bad news. And so this is what the gospel is. There's bad news, and Paul's been very plain about the problem of sin. But the good news that replaces it is so wondrous that, well, anyone who carries that good news is carrying the greatest blessing imaginable.
Thanks for listening today. visit us online at pastoralan.org or call 877-544-4860. That's 877-544-4860. If you only caught part of today's teaching, not only can you listen again online, but also get a daily email devotional that matches today's teaching delivered right to your email inbox free. Find out more about these and other resources at pastoralan.org. That's pastoralan.org. Today's Good News message is a listener-supported production of Alan Wright Ministries.